before we get into our reading today, I just want to say a word about this parable of the prodigal son, or the parable of the forgiving father, as it can be called as well. Oftentimes when we've heard a story before, perhaps multiple times, our brains can do this thing where they go, oh yeah, I know this one. And then can click over to one of the other open tabs in our brain for the grocery list or for what else do I need to do today, right? Because we've heard this story before. We know how it goes. We know how what the preacher's going to say after we've heard this story. And I'm going to invite you to fight that urge this morning. Because the beautiful thing about these parables, these stories that Jesus tells to his disciples and tells to us, is that we have an opportunity to hear them differently every time. There's an old saying about rivers that you can never step in the same river twice, right? Water continues to flow so that every time we return to a river, the water is different and we are different people. So I'm going to invite you to stick with me this morning as we hear Jesus tell this story again, because we've never heard this story as the people we are right now in the world as it is right now. And that's the beautiful thing about gathering together and hearing this scripture together. So this is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So the father divided his property between his two sons. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. Now he would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and he went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. The father ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and it's found," and they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. The slave replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." The elder son became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never even given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." And the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Beloved family of God, grace and peace to you from God our Creator and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. And one thing that's important to remember about this story that we heard this morning is that it's the last in a set of three parables that Jesus tells to this crowd of people who are very diverse. Luke tells us it's a crowd that includes leaders in the temple community, scribes, tax collectors, and even, if you can believe it, sinners. So he told them three parables. The first is about a shepherd who had 100 sheep. One wanders off, and the shepherd leaves the 99 in pursuit of the one who has wandered. The next parable that Jesus tells is about a woman with 10 coins. She loses one and sweeps the house until she finds it. Then when she does, she throws a party that probably costs her many more coins in celebration of having found what was lost. And then Jesus moves to this third parable. A man had two sons. At first glance, it may seem like a good study in family dynamics, particularly relating to birth order, right? How many eldest siblings do we have in here, right? As one, this story always brings some stuff up for us, right? But I think when we glance even just the slightest bit deeper, we can see times where we've been in both spots, right? The younger son has kind of gone off the deep end trying to find out who he is, and he's made a bit of a mess of things. So rather than do the birth order thing, I'll just ask this. How many of you have ever gone out on a limb and tried something new and it turned into a pretty big mess? Yeah, right? What about this? The older brother hears that his brother has returned and his father is preparing a huge party for him, killing the fatted calf. He is going all out. He's got the lawn games out. He's filling up the coolers in the garage. He's got a pinata or two. I mean, he is doing everything for this party. The older brother kind of feels slighted by this. He's upset. Bitter, even. You can hear the bitterness in his words at being left out. How many of you have ever felt left out of something or felt like your effort wasn't appreciated and kind of bitter about it? Yeah. Right? You look at that. Turns out maybe it's not as much of a birth order thing as we thought. Maybe it's just a human thing. Maybe we're a jumbled mess of both of these siblings. We're never just one. And then we look to the parent, we look to the father to see his reaction to this, and we can catch a glimpse of God's deep and abiding love and mercy for his children. The first time the father crosses the threshold, he leaves the house in pursuit of his son who has been lost. And the younger son returns home. I learned something a few years ago that completely changed the way I see this parable. There's a friend of mine who's a pastor down in Texas, invited a group of us to spend a summer reading the Bible from cover to cover. And then we'd meet up and we'd discuss the sections that we'd read. And in one of the sections that we were reading, it was focusing on the book of Deuteronomy, way back in the Old Testament. And someone in our group brought up these few verses from Deuteronomy 21, and we have them up here. It says, if someone has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father and mother, who does not heed them when they discipline him, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his town at the gate of that place. They shall say to the elders of his town, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the town shall stone him to death. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear and be afraid. Now, when we hear this parable through the lens of this command given back in Deuteronomy, remember, some who are gathered to hear this story, to hear Jesus telling this story, are experts in the law. Right? They would have recalled something about these lines as punishment for the sons of disobedience. Now all of a sudden the father running out to the son is not just about excitement or joy and relief that the son has returned. The son was running home because he knew that the very possibility of his life was at stake. And not just that. Right? It's easy to understand why the son would be running quickly. He knew that his life was at stake. But the father runs to the son just as eagerly, just as excitedly. The father runs to the son, and as he ran to the son, it was as if he was saying, any harm they do to you, they'll have to do to me first. The father was joining his son, was embracing him, was kissing him, so that their bodies were one and the same, that anything that happened to the son would have had to happen to the father as well. One of my favorite praise songs that we do here at our 10:30 service is a song called Run to the Father. It's this incredible song about the ways in which we return to God with eagerness. One of the things that I love about this parable is that it reminds us that when we turn and return to God, when we repent and run back to God, it's not just us running to the Father when we've screwed up and made a mess of things, but just as urgently, God runs to us to embrace us and to welcome us home with joy and celebration. As we near the shadow of the cross in our Lenten season, it's powerful to remember and hear the urgency of God's love for us. The urgency with which God runs to us and embraces us. The cross is God's way of saying, any harm that they do to you, you will not go through it alone. They'll have to do it to me first. Just like the journey of Lent, the story doesn't end on the cross, but in the joy of new life and in resurrection. It's important to note that each of these three parables ends on a note of joy. There is joy in heaven when the shepherd finds the lost sheep. The angels rejoice when the lost coin is found. There is a banquet of celebration. The fatted calf is killed and they are ready to celebrate. This is important because the father crosses the threshold a second time as well. This time to console his son, his elder son, who is seething with resentment and refuses to go into the party. If the elder son resents the ease with which the father forgives his brother, and he shuts himself out of the celebration, shuts himself out of the experience of his father's amazing grace and love. if the scribes and the religious leaders see Jesus' practice of eating with tax collectors and sinners as a lack of purity and credibility, then they too can miss out on the joy of God's amazing grace. If we pretend like we have it all together and are deserving of God's love because we are always good and upright, faithful children of God, and we judge others as the wayward who are unworthy, we miss the joy of the gospel too. And a gospel without joy is not good news for anyone. So friends, rejoice. As the Apostle Paul reminded us this morning, anytime someone turns away from sin and brokenness back toward a right relationship with God and with our neighbor, all of creation is made new. Live in this joy and renewed life today and every day. Amen.